Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness, Lord God, over us, over the fathers of the house, over us as we gather here. We will not take it for granted. My God and my Father, I strip myself of every confidence that my head have in my heart concerning my knowledge, your ability to share your word. Lord, I don't under the covenant of my spiritual parents that the same grace you have bestowed upon them, the same mercy upon them will rest upon me mightily to them to teach and to preach, to minister effectively as an oracle of God, to bring out of the treasure of all things new and old, as the scribe instructed unto the kingdom, in the name of Jesus. I receive grace in sufficient measure to redeem the time, not to say things that are unnecessary. That word goes forth, let it go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. Do an internal work in us, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds further enlightened, revelation knowledge, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the Spirit. Father, we thank you and give you all the glory for all you will do in our midst today. In Jesus' name, hey, praise the Lord. The message I have this afternoon is a very simple message, but it's what will determine whether we inherit what God has promised us. We will, in Jesus' name. But a very simple message that we've heard it over and over and over again. On Wednesday, by the grace of God, I was sharing about the last instruction that David gave Solomon. He told him, he said that, my son Solomon, he said, know the God of your father and serve him. That was what he told Solomon. As he's on his deathbed, the most important thing for David to tell his son, he didn't tell him, my son Solomon, don't marry many wives. Why? Because if you obey that instruction, you will not fall into that snare. Are you following my train of thought? So he told him the most important instruction. He said, know the God of your father. And then when you know him, serve him. And we said that you know God at different levels. Witness of the Spirit, you know him by revelation in your mind. And then you also know him as his life is manifest in your flesh, like we spoke about Abraham. So today we are going to be talking about what God told Solomon. And I've titled the message, Walking Before God with Integrity of Heart. Let's say together, Walking Before God with Integrity of Heart. It is a very simple message. We've heard it over and over and over again. But I believe God is bringing it to us at this time. Why? Because just like Solomon was given the pattern to build the temple that God filled, we also will have the pattern. Those principles that we operate every day. But no, in spite of the fact that Solomon had the pattern and built the temple, he still made that mistake. Why? Not because he wasn't under David's covering. He will not make that mistake in Jesus' name. But because he did not take it, one, to what his father told him, and then two, to what God told him. Actually, what God told him is the same thing his father spoke to him. God was just reiterating the same thing. Let's open our Bible to 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 4. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 4. Walking before God with integrity of heart. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 4. And let's read. This is God talking to Solomon. When God appeared to him the second time, he said, God, for an old God to leave his throne in heaven, to leave every other assignment he had to do to sustain the earth, and come and appear to Solomon and tell Solomon. See why? Because God wanted him to keep that instruction, and knowing that in keeping the instruction, everything he has said he will be able to fulfill. So he was giving him the condition. Say, let's go that. And if thou wilt walk before me as what David thy father walked. Stop there. That means Solomon had an example to follow. The poplar that God placed before Solomon was his father. What am I saying? Also over here, we have an example to follow. Are you following me? This ministry is known as a ministry of integrity. Are you following? So we have examples to follow. So God is telling us. Why? Because we are at that critical time in which temple will be built, finished, and God will fill with his glory. So we don't go and make the mistakes that Solomon made. God was so disappointed in what Solomon did. But let's keep reading. Say, I mean, thou will walk before me as David thy father walked. How did David walk? God began to tell him. Said, in what? Integrity of heart and uprightness of heart. Let's say together. In integrity of heart and in uprightness. Now, the consequence of that is this. To do or to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments. You see, God did not say, keep my commandments. If he had said that, then Solomon would have been trying to keep those commandments with his own ability and effort. But God said, look, all you need to do is to walk in integrity of heart before me. Next verse. Then, this is the consequence if he did that. Then, I will establish what? The throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. Next verse. But if you shall at all turn from following me, you or your children will not keep my commandments and statutes which I have commanded or which I have set before you, but to serve other gods and worship them. Next verse. Then will I do what? Cut off Israel of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all the poor people. So unfortunate that Solomon did not keep this instruction that God gave him. He missed it big time. I see, God will never allow us to be tempted above what we are able to bear. Put it back in verse 4 as we continue. Let's look at it closely. We are talking today about walking before God with integrity of heart. So, but before we move on to explain some things, because this thing is very important. If you notice that Job, throughout the scriptures, God kept on talking about people that had integrity of heart. He spoke up, said things about Job. Job chapter 2 verse 3. When Satan wanted to do something wrong to Job, and he went to God, and all God would talk. You see, integrity of heart does not mean you know everything. We are going to see as we continue. What does he say? Job chapter 2 verse 3, please. Job chapter 2 verse 3, just to support. Job chapter 2 verse 3. Thank you. Let's look at that. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant, Pastor Andrew?" You see, at one point in time, God is going to brag about you. Be ready for it. Praise up. I'm just like the natural. When parents, when their children finish in good grades, they will come and say, where is your son? He's so and so now. He's working with so and so. Yeah, same thing. God wants to brag about his children. So God was bragging about Job. He said, and the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? A what? Perfect and an upright man, one that feared God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his what? Integrity. Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." That is, in the midst, like I was singing, that God will cause all things to work together for good. No matter what you are going through, no matter the challenges or circumstances that are coming against you, make sure you hold that integrity of heart in your walk with God. Because it's going to determine whether God is able to turn your captivity like he did for Job and give him twice as much as he lost. Or whether he can also hinder God. But we're not hinder God in Jesus' name. But like I said, God has made it so simple. He didn't say keep my commandments, even though that will lead to keeping his commandments. But say keep integrity of heart. Verse 9. I know the story. All kinds of temptation broke out. Even his family members, his wife, the closest person to him, said, "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die." That means there are going to be challenges that we face that will seek to shake that integrity of heart that we try to keep with God. Based on what God has said or what we are trusting God for. But we must not waver in Jesus. We will not waver in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So back to 1 Kings chapter 9 verse 4. In verse 4, God just told him the condition to get all those promises he has made to David. I sworn unto David. Yeshua said, this is very simple. I know you are a literature. I know some back then, I can't remember the exact scripture. When God appeared to him and he promised, he said, "God, I'm a little child." He said, but please give me wisdom. How can I lead your people? You know that he had that integrity in the beginning. But somehow along the way, he lost it. That means it can be lost. But we'll not lose it in Jesus' name. So, verse 4. God now told him, he said, "Look, if thou will walk before me as David thy father walked in integrity of heart, in uprightness." Say to do. It means that it is to the degree to which you walk in integrity of heart that you're able to do the commandments. You see, it's not, many of us want to keep those commandments. Like, wake up in the morning, I want to start firing in prayer. No. It is true. It's good to have that determination. But you see, the degree to which you are able to keep those commandments is dependent or hinges on the degree of integrity of your heart. Praise the Lord. And it will keep my status and my judgment. And we know that God told him conditions. Praise the Lord. So we see here, God has put something which is now telling us. Says that, look, keep integrity of heart so that one, you'll be able to do my commandments. And then secondly, so that I will establish the throne of your kingdom. And then to enjoy all the promises I've made to your father. Of course, which you know is the inheriting this broad anointing. That is the ultimate we are trusting God for. Praise the Lord. So what is this integrity of heart? Let's say after me. Integrity of heart is what? Say honesty, reliability, and consistency. Say your honesty, reliability, and consistency. You see, it starts with honesty of heart. That's why he said, if you keep integrity of heart. See, that integrity of heart is what opens your heart to the flow of the life of God. When that flow now comes through you, the degree to which it flows will now help you to be reliable. And then from there, you'll be consistent. Just as God is. Your word now becomes your bond. So if you say something, people can take it to the bank. That you're not disappointed. But see, nobody starts at that very high level. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, even though he did not sin, but he exercised integrity of heart. You know, when they went to the temple, and after 3 days, they were looking for him, and his father and his mother saw him. You know, definitely, God would not have spoken to him to stay back. Are you following me? And I would have stayed back. Are you following me? That means God must have been silent about what happened. Because if God had told him, stay back in the temple, if God had told him to go, and he stayed back, then we would have sinned. Are you following me? So God must have been silent, so he stayed back, so he didn't sin. So, but when the parents came back, and he said, son, we've been looking for you for 3 days. Why have you done this to us? He said, let us go. And immediately, he did what? Submitted. And the Bible said, the consequence of that was that he grew in wisdom and in stature, having favor with God and with all men. Now, he must have acknowledged from God at that time. But what we know and we can believe is that the Bible says that obey and submit to them that have rule over you. So you must have remembered that scripture. I may not understand yet, but let me obey and submit to my parents, and then we can see what happened. Praise the Lord. So from that scripture, what is honesty of heart? Honesty of heart is speaking the truth to yourself all the time. Not sometimes. It takes exercise, as we'll see later. Say, honesty of heart is speaking the truth to yourself all the time. You may not talk, you may not tell everybody. Things happen a lot of the times at the thought level, not even something that people can see. Thoughts assail your mind, you know, things that you dare not say outside. But it's like Pastor taught us in that message he preached before his birthday about praying with your thoughts. Immediately those thoughts come to your mind. The proof that you don't accept it is when you say, Lord, please have mercy on me in this regard. You don't keep quiet. Either it's a thought of fornication, adultery, to break your fast prematurely. Immediately the thought comes to your mind, the easiest thing you can do is say, Lord, have mercy on me in this regard. So you take that thought captive. So, and like I said, it's speaking the truth to yourself in your heart. And is it that the consequence of speaking the truth to yourself is that truth you speak to yourself, that honesty you exercise, allows God to release his mercy from outside upon your heart. That is why it's for everybody, not just Christians. That's how you got born again. That's how I got born again. We exercise honesty of heart. So maybe God saw that he will release mercy from outside, and that mercy will bring eternal life, which now work on your heart and strengthen you to do what you could not do. Praise the Lord. So you see now that the degree of honesty of your heart will ultimately determine the degree of your reliability. Because when that life comes to your heart, is that life you are going to use to pray, you are going to use to bind the devil, you are going to use to be consistent and reliable. So if you miss it at the level of honesty of heart, then it becomes difficult for God to help. Our Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run through and through the whole earth, looking for Christians whose hearts are perfect toward him. Is that what the Bible says? That's how you see a Christian fall into a particular kind of problem and you see an unbeliever escape. And you're wondering, but God, this guy is born again. But God, I thought that there are angels, you know, on assignment. How could this happen? Honesty of heart. God speaks to them at the level of your heart. He still talks about in Romans chapter 1. You don't have to turn there. So some people, when God speaks to them, the Bible says they hold the truth in what? Unrighteousness. I say, I will not obey. We'll be amazed when we get to heaven. When they play back, you know, like, I don't know why it's the video they will show or whatever. And you see the hearts of men are made manifest. God begins to show the motives. What God told this one. Why he didn't do it. Because of what they will say. God will say, do this one. God will play back everything. So the Bible says he might be just and justified, you know, when he's judged. So God is going to play back all those things. But what I want us to see, which is the most important part of this message, is that it is God that is going to help you, based on the honesty of your heart, to be consistent and reliable. Why? Because it is based on the mercy of God, the measure of the mercy of God that you receive. That Philippians 2:13 says, it is God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. When you don't exercise honesty of heart, you shut God out of what you want to do. When you exercise honesty of heart, you open your heart for God. You know, the Bible says somewhere in Revelation, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Why is he knocking on the door of the heart? Because people have shut their hearts to God. We'll not shut our hearts to God in Jesus' name. So I put it there. I said, honesty of heart is what attracts the mercy of God, which will in turn enable us to be reliable and consistent. Let's look at Psalm 15, verse 2. Let's put the scripture behind this. Psalm 15, verse 2. Psalm 15, verse 2 says, he that what? Walketh uprightly and walketh righteousness and does what? Speaketh the truth in his heart. That is very simple. Anybody can do it. It's the key to receiving all the promises that God has made. So the more honest you are, the more mercy you receive, which makes more of the life God available to you. As we've been taught, mercy is from the outside, from the air. And then grace comes from within. It also applies to grace. Are you following me? Grace also comes from within. So when honesty reveals something, you submit to it by humility, then God gives you mercy from outside, and then gives you grace from within. Are you following me? So that, like we said some time ago, like Noah's Ark, Bible says, pitches within and without, so that there will not be any leakage. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us to know. And the example I will give as you continue, we're going to go back to Solomon. We're going to talk a bit about Solomon today and why he missed it. Abimelech is an example in the Bible. Genesis chapter 20, verse 6. This is a man that did something wrong, but wasn't born again. He took Abraham's wife, put Abraham's wife in the harem. And we don't know how long she kept that woman in the harem. But all we know is that one day God appeared to him and said, you are a dead man. And the guy said, God, you can't just keep me like that. You see, that when you walk with God to a certain level, you can talk to God, not because you are arrogant, but talk to God based on integrity of his word. That's what Abraham said. He said, far be it from you that the judge of the old life should do unrighteousness. That's why Moses could stand before God and say, no, God, you can't do this. Because if you do it, they will say you are not able to take them in. Why? Because they have exercised integrity of heart to a certain degree. So they know how God thinks. They were not being rude. They are just reminding God of his integrity. They are pleading their case before God. So and God said, please, just 6, please. Genesis 26. Say, and God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this is what? In the integrity of thy heart. For also we tell thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. The question I ask is this. How come we Christians, I'm not talking about anybody, let's just talk about body of Christ generally, God has found it so difficult to keep us from committing this kind of sin? We need to ask ourselves. I mean, God says, do good unto all men, especially unto the household of faith. So before God will show anybody mercy, he will show his children. So if the thing bypasses you and now goes to preserve an unbeliever, then we need to ask a question. That is root cause. A lack of honesty of heart. A lack of integrity of heart. That's why God put this thing in the Bible for us to see. God said, look, I am the one that kept you. So instead of having any emotional desire towards somebody else's wife, I kept you. So God shut down everything. That's a miracle. That means if we will walk in integrity of heart, all those temptations that border around that area, we'll be able to overcome them by the mercy of God. So if anybody falls in that kind of temptation, go back to the heart. Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows what? The forces of life. But the life must first of all go in by the mercy of God. Then grace pumps it out to intercession. Then God can keep you. Praise the Lord. So, I'll reiterate. Honesty attracts mercy. Mercy gives life. Which now, when we receive it in sufficient measure, it helps us to keep God's commandments. Like Pastor talked some time ago. He said the commandments are not grievous. See, what God has told us to do, they are not grievous. Let's say it together. Petitioning is not grievous. Praying in tongues is not grievous. Groaning also is not grievous. It depends on the measure of mercy that you receive. And God is knocking all the time on the door of our hearts for us to open. When we exercise honesty, we can receive sufficient mercy. Not just mercy, but sufficient. Say sufficient. See, the issue is the sufficient amount we receive. However, if you want to go from here to Lagos today and you put 4 liters in your car, you will never get there. Not because the car is not okay, but the fuel inside is nothing. That fuel that we need to do and to keep God's commandments is the mercy of God and the grace of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, let's put some scriptures behind this. Psalm 145 verse 9. I already talked about it. Psalm 145 verse 9. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's read together. The Lord is good to all, without exception. And His tender mercies are over all His works. The Lord is good to all. And His tender mercies are over all His works. The scripture, it all just flashes to my mind. What made God keep Abimelech and could not keep Herod from taking his brother's wife? Lack of mercy. Lack of mercy. He wasn't honest enough. Jude 21. Jude is one chapter. 21 talks about the mercy of God. You see, what the mercy of God, many times we say, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. It's true. But we need to understand what mercy does. Pastor has told us that mercy gives a measure of the life of God. Say, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto what? Eternal life. So when you exercise honesty of heart, you are looking for God's mercy under pressure. When you cannot even bind the devil, when you cannot even pray, maybe you are standing for some people and you don't know what to say, like I'm standing today. You have to say, Lord, have mercy. And you see, because you can't, at the thought level, that's what God does. So He looks with His eyes of mercy and He releases a measure of His life in sufficient measure. Are you following me? To help you to overcome the challenge or the temptation. Praise the Lord. So that's what mercy does. It brings what? Eternal life. Then also the same thing with grace. The difference is that grace is given to the humble. And it goes into your spirit. That's why Paul was complaining to God. He said, look, this, what kind of problem is this? Blah, 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 blah. And God told me very simple. I said, Paul, my grace is what? Sufficient for you. James says that He giveth more grace. So anytime we stumble in our walk, we need to go back and check our hearts. How far, how much of the honesty of heart are we exercising? Or how much of humility of heart are we exercising? Because all these bothers around how much of a measure of the life of God that we receive. How I quoted that scripture, this God that works in you, both to will and to do of God's good pleasure. It's God that wants to do something. So, but He needs our hearts to be honest. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So, but it's easier said than done. You know why? Because there is a problem with the heart called the sin nature. That nature, we inherited it from birth. When we get born again, God removes that sin nature from our spirits. What we have in our soul and our body. So that sin nature is what hinders us, are you following me, from being honest as we ought to. But it is not an excuse. Because exercising honesty is a function of your will. You can choose that, I'm going to be honest. Either in business, in whatever you do, I am going to be honest. I'm going to tell the truth to myself. I may not be able to do it yet, but I'll tell myself the truth. Because each time you do that, God releases mercy that softens the ground of your heart. That's how you basically break up your fallow ground. That's how you break up your fallow ground. Praise the Lord. So, having said that, let's look at 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7. And let's look at why did Solomon fail. So why this message is very important is because we, like Solomon, have been commissioned to build a temple for God to fill His glory with. It's the same thing. It was David that gave the pattern to Solomon. So we too have been given the pattern to manifest the glory of God. So that same God is telling us today, He said, if you walk with me, like David your father walked with me, in integrity of heart, then that promise that I've spoken to your father David, I will fulfill it. It's the same thing. It's not different. It's the same thing. So, and like I said, this ministry is a ministry of integrity. Year in, year out, you hear the word of God. It's not diluted. I dare say, if they will not, they have not, and they will not. Let me just say. But you see, if we will not be here today, if they have compromised on the word. Yeah. Many ministries have gone astray. Why? Because they compromised on the word. And it's not because they were doing it at that time. Pastor said something. He said, anytime that I see something in the Bible, he will say, for God to say it, that means it is possible. They will start praying for God. Show me how to do it. That is honesty of heart. You may not be doing it yet, but you see a scripture that says that I and the children are for signs and wonders in Israel. Say, I may not be manifesting, I may not see it yet, but because God said it, based on the integrity of God's word, it is possible. So when you now start inquiring of the Lord and seeking His face, then God will tell you. Praise the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7. Let's read together. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. So God said this to him when I was a little child, spiritually. So it applies to everybody. Are you following me? And I am not a, I'm a little child, and I know not how to go out or to come in. Next verse. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Next verse. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Praise God. Let's stop there. So why did I read that? I read it because anybody, at whatever stage you are, spiritually speaking, you can exercise integrity of heart. And the more you exercise integrity of heart, the more of the mercy of God will flow to you, because your heart will be open. The wider your heart will open, the wider and the wider your vows are open. Like Paul was telling the, I think the Corinthian church, said that our bowels are open. So the life that flows in the place of unity can flow from top to wherever you are. You know what is very, very important? Because when the glory begins to manifest, God forbid that you will be in a position that you should manifest in glory and you will not, then you see a little child at the back there manifesting the glory. That will not be a lot in Jesus' name. So that we need to check these things, and we'll see how God wants us to do it as we continue the message. So, how come Solomon missed it? How come Solomon missed it? Because after a period of time in his heart, he left the most important thing. You see, the danger there is this, is that when you start exercising integrity of heart, God's mercy begins to come upon your life. God's grace begins to come upon your life in greater and greater measures. Say, for example, you are singing in the choir. Just say that. You start singing, you know, you're always on time. You're always, don't let me just call, whatever you're doing, you're always on time. Then the unction begins to come on you, begin to sing. People begin to get healed, and things begin to happen. Then the next thing is that, you know, this near in ministry I've discovered. You may not pray. I'm telling you. You may not pray enough. But yet, when you stand there, the unction will come. Why? Because of the people. One, covering. Two, because God wants body to edify. He says he gave some apostles, prophets, teachers, and evangelists for the work of the ministry, for the what? Perfection of sin, work of ministry, for the edification of the body. So that, you see, when you are in ministry, you are doing something for God. Because God wants his people to be fed. There are people that need healing today. There are people that need encouragement. So, if you neglect that aspect, the snare is that you will stand there like Samson after he left the house of Delilah. And he went and carried the gate of, and took it to Hebron. So he judged himself by what God did through him to save Israel, not by his heart. You see, the moment he came out of that woman's house, I said, God, God, I'm sorry, please forgive me. That's the danger when you begin to walk with God or begin to do something for God. That's the problem that Solomon had. You see, everything was okay initially. He never missed going to the temple with his father. He was doing everything Solomon told him to do. But after some time, when prosperity came and all these things begin to happen, are you following me? He stopped keeping the word of God. I will show you. And once he stopped keeping the word, he did everything that God said he should not do. And yet, the anointing was there. That's the danger. So you cannot judge yourself by ministry. You have to judge your heart. It's your heart you have to judge. The most valuable possession you have in your life is your heart. You see, when people buy cars, they will put different kinds of security gadgets on it. Some, if you move near, it will go, then you have to move away. Some, you should put something like that on your heart. An alarm system that once anything comes, either to despise authority, move now, you say, your heart will start ringing. You quickly judge it. God has the Bible, that's what the Bible says. He said, keep your heart, not your car. Keep your heart, not your wife. Keep your heart, not whatever God has given you, not even the anointing. Because the anointing will flow through your heart. And once the heart is corrupted, gradually the anointing will start getting corrupted. Paul says that the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. That's why Paul said to Timothy, he said, the end of the commandment is what? Love. But where? Out of a pure heart. That means love can even come out of a heart that is not pure. Somebody can stand there today. We see it all the time. They won't stand there in Jesus. They've never stood there. Pastor Omar will never allow them anyway. And quote a scripture and twist it about giving. You see, as it is true, I just gave as an example, to give. But as the thing is coming out, the motive for his saying is wrong. He picks up impurities from the heart. And then that is what he passes to the people. Or bitterness. I say, let every root of bitterness springing up defilement. It's not so much as what you say, but the life that is coming out of your heart that people are drinking from. You can say something that is absolutely right in the physical. But you see, if it has bitterness in it, it will trouble the people. People will go home troubled. And the message was very nice. But somehow, I don't know, I feel a bit uneasy. And you have to keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it, what flows the forces of life. So we must have and maintain an honest and humble heart always. So we must have and always have maintained honesty of heart always, or integrity of heart. It's good to have it. We all have it. If you don't have integrity of heart, you won't be born again. But you must also maintain it. That's how you grow. Measure your growth by integrity of heart. Not by how many scriptures you can quote off it, or by what you can do for God. Measure. Paul said, he said, some people, they glory in appearance, but they don't glory in heart. Praise the Lord. So, and this is what Solomon did. I'll read the scripture to explain, and we'll go and see how it actually occurred to me. Second, because you see, you must exercise integrity of heart relative to what God has said. Are you following me? Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. We all know the scripture where Paul was talking. He said, but we have renounced. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifesting of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Like Pastor said, that means Paul had a problem. You see, we're not saying this to condemn people. No, Paul had the same problem. He said, we have renounced. How can you renounce what you don't have? What? So there came a time in his life. It must have been doing in a measure what those guys were doing. Then he came, God started talking to him. You know, at the time God will call you aside and start whisper to you. Let me give an example. You see, just a very simple example. People's ears speak like this. Very simple example. You see, you know, people send a lot of stuff on WhatsApp. So they will send it to some of my friends. Some of them are born again, some of them are born again. So they will send it to nothing dirty. But some of them are just jokes and things like that. You see, so I will laugh and laugh and laugh. The next thing I do, I send it to everybody. Then I discover that the next day, when I'm praying, the Holy Spirit comes, not to condemn me, say, but you shouldn't have sent that thing. It's not edifying. I said, think only on things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, of good report, of excellence. He didn't condemn me, but said, you shouldn't have sent that. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. God will come and tell you something. You may not say it publicly. You just come and say, and over will tell me again. So I begin to watch what I send out. Someone sends something wrong to me now. I delete it immediately. I try to. I follow me. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. That God comes and whispers to you and says, you need to help your wife to do so, so and so. Nobody knows. Your wife didn't even know. And then he says, how can I do that? And the Bible says, I should dwell with them according to knowledge, for you are both inheritors of the grace of life. Then you now wonder why the measure of grace reduces. I follow what I'm trying to say. So it's not to condemn. But Holy Spirit come and tell different things, apart from, or even what you hear across the pulpit. A word will come like this, or while Pastor Kunle was preaching, something will come. And then you have the right, based on your will, to obey or not to obey. It's not so much as whether the thing is difficult, but accepting it with your will and saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Because why, it is God that is going to do it. Because if you are the one that actually does it, you'll be bragging about it. That God, when God told me this, I did it. When he did this, I did it. No. All glory belongs to God. So let's look closely at Solomon as we continue. Where did he miss it? He did not do this thing. Say, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We do not walk in craftiness, nor handle God's word, but by manifesting of the truth, commending ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Next verse. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's stop there. So let's look at Solomon. What did God tell Solomon that is relates to what God told Paul? Open your Bible, book of Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 14. God had told them back then. He said, when you make a king, you said, are you there? Let's read. Say, when thou art come into the land, which Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the other nations are about me. God was not against that. Next verse. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shall thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. Next verse. But he shall, let's read together. But he shall what? Not what? Multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that they should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, you shall henceforth return no more that way. Next verse. Let's first of all, then we'll go back to it. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Next verse. And it shall be when he sitteth upon, this is the key, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy, say, write him a copy of this law in a book, out of which is before the priest, the Levites. That is similar to that prayer book we've been given. God has made it so simple. Next verse. And it shall be with him. And it shall be with him. And it shall do what? Read therein all the songs of his life, all the days of his life, even after the spirit that measure comes. So he shall read all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of the law of his law, and these statutes to do them. Next verse. And that his heart, say, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to preach to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom and his children. So God already told Solomon that he read it. He saw his father. God said, you know that's what David did when he would say those psalms and recite those psalms. So you have an example before you. But Solomon failed. Why? Because after some time, he stopped taking heed to his heart by keeping that simple commandment. That is, he saw it. After some time, he said, do I need to do this again? After all, the blessings have come. How many people know that it is not easy? Or when you say it's easy, if you have like 10 billion in your account and they say, come and pray for finances. You know, it's like, what do I have to pray for? Let's be honest. 10 billion in your account. You have to say, but you need to pray. You know why? Because you need to ask God how to disburse the money. Like I say, in all your ways, including 10 million, acknowledge him and he will direct you. But Solomon never did that. Let's quickly look at Solomon. We start comparing Deuteronomy 17, verse 17. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. 1 Kings 11, verse 1. 1 Kings 11. But King Solomon loved many what? Strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh. Women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Sidonites, and the Hittites. He refused that totally. The problem was not because he was tempted. But the problem was that when that temptation came, he said, Lord, have mercy on me. But see, he handled God's word deceitfully. So he must have said in his heart, okay, my father David committed adultery. So instead of me to commit that, let me be marrying them. Dishonesty of heart. Dishonesty of heart. That's what he must have said to himself. Well, okay, me, I will not do that. So once I've married them, Otiton. So he started with 1, 2, 3, until he got to 1,000. If God had given me extra life, probably I extended to 1,500. He exercised dishonesty of heart. Are you following me? See, those are the things we need to be careful about. See, don't handle God's word deceitfully. Don't bend it to be convenient for yourself. Are you following me? If God says, chasing thy son while there is day, chasing that son, don't bend it. If God says, do something, don't bend it. Don't find a way around it to make it convenient for you. No. So he made that mistake. Then the other one was about horses. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 26. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 26. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 26. And Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. Go to 10, verse 28. He must have said in his heart that because they were giving him. Are you following me? They were just giving him. They were just giving horses. And then he also sent to Egypt to go and be bringing horses. It's not wrong. But God said, don't multiply it to yourself. Because you know what? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. So he said, and Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt and linen yarn. And king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. Verse 29. And the child came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver and an horse for 150. And so for all the kings of Egyptites, and they kept on. You see, the fact that people are bringing things to you does not mean that you should begin to store them up. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, it said, let him that stole steal no more, that he may work so that he can have to give. The reason why God gives us excess is so that we can distribute the excess. Go and ask from Joseph. When God gives you, let me give you a simple example. You go to a place and they serve you what is amount to be 3 plates of rice in 1 plate. Are you going to try to eat everything? No. You take what you need, then you can now distribute. What about distributing for the necessity of the saints? Are you following me? Because if you don't, after some time, that thing starts flogging your heart, like when you overload the generator. You can't handle that thing again. Very important. The last thing we look about, he must multiply silver and gold to himself. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 25. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 25. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver, vessels of gold, and garments and armor, and spices and horses and moons, a rate year by year. Verse 27. And the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones, and cedars made he to be as sycamore trees, and you know that are in the veil of abundance. You see, when this occurred, Solomon should have distributed his wealth. He didn't do it though. You know what? I passed away the scripture towards the other day in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. I'll read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. You see, when the Bible records some things, they didn't record it there, but God now spoke later to see what happened to Solomon. What did Solomon do? He says, and the king made... No. Okay, he said, thy father... This is when Rehoboam became king, and he had misbehaved, and God had wanted to divide the kingdom. So they came to him and said, thy father... Put in Amplified. Amplified, please. You see? That your father, King Solomon, so I'm sure we're talking about, made a yoke hard, heavy, difficult. So now lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke, which he put on us, and we will serve you. This was that period of time, you know, during the book of 1 Kings and whatever, God was silent about it because God was writing a story which wanted. That's why you see, when you look at the life of Solomon, you take the things that apply to you. You don't take the negative aspects of what he did. And that Bible said, a greater than Solomon is here. Christ in you, the hope of. We are going to be greater, what? In humility, in honesty of heart, so that we can retain the wealth that God is bringing. The Bible says that, I will fill this house with glory. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine. Like we've been told, that gold and that silver is to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. That is the purpose, to support the work of the ministry. But Solomon didn't do that. I will know what he did. You see, at that time, he said their yoke was very heavy. It was so bad. You see, because you see, when you start doing what God did not tell you to do, you will force to keep on sustaining it. If he had not married Pharaoh's daughter, he would not have had to build the house for Pharaoh's daughter. Yes. Yes. When you start what God has told you not to start, then you have to sustain it by all might and power. And if you discovered, he used 7 years to build the house of God. And about, I can't remember, 13 years or so to build the house of Pharaoh. For Pharaoh's daughter. In fact, first of all, put him in the house where he was living. And after God said, you must not bring this to the house. And that started, he kept him there. After, maybe I want to think Pharaoh. To make matters worse. Because that thing pained God. You are using, listen to me. You are saying you are not going to build the house of Pharaoh's daughter. You wake up in the morning. You want to pray about to confirm your scars. You plan 1 hour. Then you pray about your finances. You pay 10 hours. No, judge yourself. Which is more important to you? To conform to the image of Jesus Christ that will bring the wealth, or to leave that, or just pray shuker prayer, and then go and be doing something else. That's what I'm talking about. Don't condemn Pharaoh, but I'm sorry. Condemn Pharaoh, but don't condemn Solomon. That's what he did. He spent more time building a house for Pharaoh's daughter than building the temple of God. And God put down scripture. Wait, you see, only here, you see him. I follow him. See him. See his heart. As if I don't know. Anyway, that's what Solomon did. I will not miss it in Jesus' name. A scripture to summarize what Solomon did. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 3. I already mentioned it. You know, and now began to recount about the things that God had done through him. He was not glorying in heart. He was glorying in appearance. The things he had, what he did, and all that. Say, I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. He wanted to find out what God wants men to do all the days of their life. God already said it. He said, keep my commandments forever. Next verse. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. Next verse. Me. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them, all kinds of fruits. Next verse. I made me great works. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. Next verse. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house, and also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. Next verse. I gathered me all also silver, you see, and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men, singers and women, women singers, and the delights of the sons of men, as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. Everything I. Next verse. So I was great. Say, so I was great. And increased more than all that were before me, including his father David, in terms of material and financial possession. In Jerusalem, also what? My wisdom remained with him. The Bible says that the gifts and the calling of God is without repentance. That's what I was trying to say at the beginning of the message. You can be gifted. You can be anointed. You can raise the dead like Elisha, and yet die like Elisha. If you don't take it to your heart, that will not be a portion in Jesus' name. He said, my wisdom remained with you. So he kept on judging himself based on the wisdom that kept on flowing. I follow him to do all these things. Instead of to judge his heart by what the Bible says, he handled the word of God deceitfully. We will not handle God's word deceitfully in Jesus' name. So in summary, as we begin to round up, why is this message important? We now see that integrity of heart is the key to fulfilling our destiny. It's the key to walking with God every day. And God has made it very simple for any Christian. Any Christian can exercise this. So what you don't know, God will bring it to you. And then when you see it, you'll give you the grace with. Praise the Lord. So let's, in summary, as put it, I say, God wants to fulfill the promise he has made to our father David. Say, God wants to fulfill in us the promise he has made to our father David. What are we saying? God has promised us, let me just relate it to what's going on, that the anointing is going to come upon the head. Then those under the head will partake of the borrowed anointing. God wants to fulfill it. But if the heart is not honest enough, you don't exercise on integrity of heart, are you following me? That will not be our portion. That grace cannot flow. But it will flow in Jesus' name. Psalm 89 verse 20. Psalm 89 verse 20. This is what God told. Psalm 89 verse 20. I found David, my servant, with what? My holy oil. Have I what? Anointed him. David is the only one in the Bible that God anointed three times. Speaking of the spirit of that measure in that sense. Are you following me? So that's the inheritance that God wants to do. Next verse. Next verse. With whom my hand shall be established, my arm also shall strengthen him. Next verse. The enemy shall not exert upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. That's about Satan. God begins to be his defense, not just wicked people. And I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. Next verse. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. You can see the mercy of God there. In my name shall his honor be what? Exalted. Next verse. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. That talks about intercession. And you now begin to say, ask for the heathen for thy inheritance. Next verse. He shall cry unto me, thou art my father and my God, the rock of my salvation. Next verse. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. Next verse. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him forever. Next verse. Let me just read one more verse, I think. He said, also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as this of. That's what he told Solomon. Next verse. And God told him, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, or we can put it this way, if his children refuse to walk with me in integrity of heart, then don't let's read what he said. We all know that scripture. The second thing I put here is that the degree to which we exercise honesty of heart determines how reliable we are, and then how consistent we can be. See, God is looking for faithful people, reliable people. The Bible says in Proverbs, it says that confidence in an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Look, I'll just give an example to what I'm saying. God is not more looking for Gehazis that you can't trust. Can you imagine if Gehazi had inherited what Elisha had? Forget. What they are doing today in the church is child's play. So God is looking for faithful people. So he has to see, our goal is to become conformed to Jesus Christ. Where also we, whatever we say something, we don't change. We say, I'm the Lord, I change not. Where your word is your bond. In that same Psalm 15 that we read, he said that he that swear to his own oath and changeth not. That is, you will sworn about something righteous and then you don't change. That is where we are going. So God is looking for people. Somewhere in Hebrews, he said, I'll put my trust in them. It is in that context that he said that I and the children that God has given me are for signs and wonders. That is, you must come to that place that God can trust you. He can, when I say trust you, he can trust your heart. And then he will keep on checking that heart at different levels of spiritual growth and development. We didn't talk about that, what he did to David. Before he was anointed king over Judah, he tested his heart in relationship with his boss. Twice, when he cut the hem of Saul's garments, God wanted to see. And he surrounded him with brethren that he got to rule and reign. He said, okay, don't worry, I will do this thing but once. But he said something. Paul said, he starts smiting. Each time you do something wrong, or I do something wrong, and my heart does not smite me, I need to go back to God and cry. But before, when I got born again, God, I used to rush. I always cry about this all the time. God is having mercy. I used to run. Me and Pastor Andrew, when we are in Songo on Tuesday, we run for 1 hour before to come and join 1 hour before. I won't say what is going on now because I'm a work in progress. You are laughing. Some of you come to church just to meet the grace. Yes, I'm about grace. And your heart does not smite you. In those days, it was like perfect. This glory will come. We'll pick grace from that song, go there. Run. There's a shortcut there. Boom, boom. This wedding like this. People won't see 1 hour before. Then love. But how many of us come for 1 hour before that same hunger today? God will have mercy on us. That's what God is talking about. Don't look at the big things like adultery. You will not go there in Jesus' name. Look at the little things that God has committed to our trust. You're coming to work on time. You're coming for choir practice on time. Doing what you have been told to do. Those are little things you need to check your heart. When your heart does not smite you, say, God, so begin to bank that heart. Begin in the physical sense. Bless you. What I put if I do? Oh, need to rope. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so God wants to trust us with the spirit of that measure and the church of wisdom. Luke chapter 16, verse 11. It says, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will give you the true riches? Just put it there so we can read as we round up. Luke chapter 16, verse 11. It says, if therefore you, say you, point to your neighbor, you, not me, have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? You see, it's a difficult thing, but we have to say it. Where your heart, your treasure is, there will your heart be. If God cannot, I'm not talking about the amount now. We are talking about what God has given you. If you are not faithful in giving your tithes and your offering in the unrighteous mammon, God is saying, do you think I will give you? How many of us know that somebody steals and they're going to give him your money to help you keep? Is it possible? So God will not do it. Third point. I think that summarizes it.
so that God can show himself strong on our behalf. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9. Difficult times will always come. But one of the reasons why God can show himself strong on your behalf is the degree to which you are exercising the integrity of heart at that time. I put some things here just to support this. There's a scripture, Psalm 41 verse 12. I'll just mention it. It will determine how much God can uphold you. The Bible says God upholds all things by the word of his power. So when tribulations and trials come, the only way God will be able to uphold you and hold you and see you through that difficult time is the degree to which you exercise integrity of heart. Notice, that will determine the mercy that comes to you. Are you following me? And then which will now help you in that situation like Job. Are you following me? To be what? Consistent. And not to change. It's part of what Moses 41 verse 12. What is it? And as for me, thou upholdest me in my integrity and settest me before thy face forever. Look at Daniel. Daniel chapter 6 verse 22. Went through the lion's den. I'm sure he must have prayed. But before. But amongst, how can you even pray when they throw in a lion's den? You don't want to wake them up. Eventually they are sleeping. So you are really trusting God. My God has sent his angel and has done what? Shut the lion's mouth. For they have not hurt me. For as much as before him, innocence, same thing, was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done all. That is, what kept the power flowing was integrity of heart. So he did not short circuit the power. He didn't begin to complain and say, God, I don't even know why I allowed this to do what happened to me. After I've been serving you, at the end of the day, you didn't even stop them from trembling down there. Now look at all this nonsense you put me. That was short circuited the power. That's what happened to Job. That won't make God turn those captives. The second thing is, he will also guide you. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3. Proverbs 11, verse 3. Many of us want God to guide us. And waiting for an angel to appear and tell us that thou fear the Lord, I have called you to ministry. He know integrity. The integrity of the upright shall what? Guide them, but the perverseness of transgression shall destroy them. So that integrity of heart, that honesty of heart you exercise, is what will guide you. Many times God will not tell you anything. He'll just be silent. I'll be watching you. What are you going to do? He didn't tell David, don't cut, just keep quiet. All heaven will stood at attention. What are you going to do? God will help us with integrity of heart. And then the last point I have here is that it will also be an avenue for generational blessings. Proverbs 20 verse 7. That is exactly what God did when we're talking about David and Solomon. The reason why David was able to, Solomon was able to get all those blessings, it didn't work for them, was because of his father's integrity of heart. As he said, the just man worketh in his integrity. His children are what? Blessed after him. So see how important this is. Don't say it doesn't matter what I do. No, it matters. If you want to secure your generation, that God can say what he spoke about. He said, I'm not that David will be an holy oil. If David secured Solomon, Solomon could not secure Rehoboam. So sad. He would have been the God of David, Solomon, and Rehoboam. But God could not say that. He kept on talking about David. Throughout the book of Kings, he will say, a king that is not even far, far down the road from David. He will say, because of David, my servant. He will say, because of David, your father. Meanwhile, it's not David that was his father. Maybe you talk about Abijah. Say, because of David, my father. He won't talk about Solomon, his father. Praise the Lord. I think that's it. So now, how do we get to this place where we exercise or practice that we've been taught over and over? Let's say together. Self-judgment, daily self-judgment, and setting of our will. That is very important. But I dare say, don't wait to do it only in the morning. Every minute of the day, when your heart smites you or you see something wrong, a thought comes against your mind, judge it. Say, Lord, Pastor has taught us. Say, Lord, please have mercy on me in this regard. Between you and God, God knows now. The Bible says he knows the hearts of men. He knows what to receive mercy. Mercy goes and takes that thing captive. So you judge yourself and set your will daily. Because you see, the will is what opens the heart or stops the flow of life in the measure that God wants to give us. The second thing is this. We have to pray for honesty and choosing the fear of God. We've been taught that, but we need to do it more diligently as we are about to see the glory manifest. We choose the fear of God, which is honesty and what? Humility of heart. Then we also pray with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. You can't do all that. You see, all those ones, they open your heart to be able to pray. You see, because Satan is not going to leave you after you judge yourself and you set your will. No. You have to back it with spiritual power. That's what the master did in Gethsemane. He went on his knees and began to pray with travailing prayer. And he spent the first hour. He did not only judge himself. He said, Lord, I judge myself. He said, my soul is extremely sorrowful. He didn't just do that. He now went on his knees and he prayed for 3 hours so he could fulfill God's will. He could have backed off and said, anyway, you give your angels charge over me. Okay, and then you'll have, assuming he backed off, you know, God won't stop him. God won't stop him. It was a test point, but thank God the master passed it. Praise the Lord. Then also daily Bible reading and study. This is very important. We talked about it. It is as you read the Bible every day, then light comes. The entrance of the word giveth light. So you read something, then God convicts you. Not condemn, he convicts you. Say, you see now. You read the Bible, Ephesians, given him, says, you should let no filthy nor idle communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to use of edification, that Mr. grace and heart, and your words from receiving and season result. You don't just read it for knowledge's sake. You see that you are not doing it. Ah, Lord, please have mercy on me so I can practice things. Then the next thing, which is also important, is listening to anointed, prophetic, and apostolic teaching of the Word of God. So you see, God has raised up pastors, teachers, and evangelists, you know, to bring the Word. There's some things that when you read, you may not understand it. But like told Ezra, they come and they give us a sense of the Word. Because letter will kill. There's some things you can read in the Bible, and then if you try and do it physically, you will just become something you will not be able to read. But when the apostle comes, the prophet comes, they begin to open the scriptures, and then they also give you the wisdom of how to do it. So we need to also listen to that. So I believe by the grace of God that if we follow this simple instruction and practice it, we will not fall in the snare of Solomon. We'll be able to build this temple, both the corporate temple and individual temples, and then God will fill his glory with it. And as we continue in exercising integrity of heart all the days of our lives, so God comes to us at the rapture. Praise the Lord. Let's bow down to pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Let's talk to God. Let's ask for mercy. The Bible says, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness upon us. We are talking here about a high level of right doing based on right standing. It's the mercy of God that we honesty of that determines the flow of that mercy that will help us to break up our fallow ground. Why? Because it is time to seek the Lord until he come and bring righteousness upon us, not just in our spirits, in our souls, and in our physical body. Let's stand to our feet as we sing. Let's pray. Let my heart be the temple of your spirit.
Let my spirit,
let my spirit feel the warmth of your embrace.
Let me be,
let me be,
let me be
a holy habitation.
Where your spirit,
where your spirit is pleased to dwell.
Let my heart,
let my heart be the temple of your
spirit.
Let my spirit feel the warmth of your embrace.
Let me be,
let me be,
let me be
a holy habitation.
Sacrifice
of praise.
Let's put one hand to our hearts and raise our hand to heaven as we've been taught. Walking with God with integrity of heart. Friends, say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, please have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me to walk before you with integrity of heart. That is honesty, reliability, and consistency. I come to receive fresh mercy and fresh grace, even upon the ground of my heart, so that I will always exercise and discipline myself, mortify my body, deaden my carnal affections through intercession with all kinds of prayer in the Spirit, so that you can fulfill all that you have sworn unto my father David in me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's now pray in tongues. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord.
Knowledge of the times and season, what Israel ought to do. Thank you for speaking to us again expressly. We say, let your mercy abound and your grace flow, and each one of us will watch over our hearts, that in this season of your showing we will not be found wanting, in Jesus' name. Let's join hands together as we close the service. And so, Father, under the authority and covering of my fathers, under the lordship of Jesus Christ, the shepherd and bishop of our souls in this house, so may the Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make his face to shine upon us. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord God gives us peace. God makes us head and not tail. We're above only and not beneath. So we prosper in all that we set our hands upon to do. We're at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. So we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with long life, and he shows us his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ, in Jesus' name. And so the Lord anoints us with anointings and mantles of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, of John, and the fullness of Christ, in Jesus' name. Let's share the grace. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as you walk with integrity of heart, God bless you all.